Good morning. It is time to get up on a morning of messages. Russell sends one on Twitter. What does it mean for his future in Seattle? Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers sending a big one that could mean he is one and done in Green Bay from this point forward. We'll get into all of that. And then the Bears send one that sets Twitter absolutely on fire. If you haven't seen it, you aren't going to believe it. And you will as we get up with you, starting right now. On a Thursday in New York, it's a pea super out here, but we are delighted you've chosen to get up with us. Chris Canty, the big fella, is in here, which means I can't see anything on that side of the studio. But I can look over here, and I can see the rest of the squad. Rob Ninkovich just got a haircut. Diana Russini just got a haircut. And Desmond Howard is making plays left and right as we get up with you, starting here with the rumors that continue to swirl about Russell Wilson trade talks and whether or not he will remain in Seattle. Wilson has yet to request a trade publicly, and now he's been behaving very interestingly on Twitter. If you are following this, he has sent out several recent tweets, both congratulating teammates on re-signing with the team, like the one he sent to Chris Carson, also just being complimentary of teammates like DK Metcalf, who Russ called special. And yet in the midst of all of that, there is still the belief that Russell Wilson would like to be traded from Seattle. So some of us will look at this and say, what the heck is going on here? The good news is Diana Russini can answer that question. Diana, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, Mike, so much on social media, all the compliments for his teammates. Russell Wilson's a great teammate. His issue isn't his guys. His issue is with the front office and their decisions on this roster and what they're doing. So the bigger issue here is, yes, he's out here complimenting everybody, but have we seen him say he wants to be a Seattle Seahawk? Have we seen the Seattle Seahawks say Russell Wilson's our quarterback? We have yet to see any movement. We've been talking about this for 2 months now. Someone say something. So here's what I can tell you. Around league circles right now, the talk is that the door is still open for a trade to happen. It just needs to be the right situation. And if this were to actually happen, Mike, it's going to be closer to the draft. This is the prime time. And as Adam Schefter, I know, shared with you on the show, it always made sense. If they were going to make a deal, it was going to be closer to the draft, not before free agency.
All right, that seems exactly right. 5 weeks from tomorrow, from tonight. This is Thursday. 5 weeks from tonight is round one. So that's the timetable that we're looking for here. So let me bring some of the rest of the crew in for these thoughts. Desmond Howard, I've not had a chance to chat with you about this since it all started becoming a thing. What is your sense of this? Russell Wilson putting teams out there, talking about wanting to be traded. What's your takeaway?
I tell you what, Greeny, when I first heard about it, you know, to release a statement saying, we don't want to be traded. We want to stay here in Seattle. But if we were to be traded, these are the teams we would like to go to. I thought that was the first preemptive strike from Russell Wilson's camp, which kind of surprised me because I've been watching this young man since he was in college, you know, North Carolina State, then Wisconsin. And he's like the consummate team guy. He doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. But I think things in Seattle have started to rub him the wrong way. Say he's testing the water. He and his camp released that statement just to see what type of reaction they will get. Now, Greeny, I don't think he really wants to be disruptive in the locker room. I don't think he wants to be a guy who fights the organization. I believe he wants to be in Seattle, but he wants to do it under his terms, which is kind of different for Russell Wilson. He's maturing now. He's growing up. But Pete Carroll, man, is such a slick talker. Greeny, I don't see him having any problems keeping Russell Wilson there at least for one more season.
Well, we'll find out how that works out. Meanwhile, Ninko, how would you feel if the Seahawks were to trade away Russell Wilson? What would go through your mind?
My instant thought that would just pop in my head would be, who's the idiot that traded Russell Wilson? And look, if you trade away a franchise player like Russell Wilson, you must be missing something upstairs, because in the NFL especially, we know that this is a quarterback league. You want to find a franchise quarterback. They have a franchise quarterback. You look at all these teams that don't have a franchise quarterback, what are they looking to do? To try and find one, and they have one right in front of them. So if you're Seattle, you do not trade Russell Wilson. And if you do, and you had a crystal ball, you look into the future, and you see him win a Super Bowl with somebody else, and Seattle hasn't found the next guy after Russell Wilson, you would look like a complete fool. So if you're Seattle, you try and help him out. Bring in a top draft pick at tackle, something to make him happy, because if you trade him away, you're going to regret it.
That seems fair. In the meantime, there's a lot of different pieces to this, Chris Canty. And so if you were to give the people in Seattle, I don't mean the Russell himself, mm-hmm. but the Pete Carrolls in the front office and maybe even some of his teammates, if you were to inject them with truth serum, what do you think they would tell you about Russell?
Well, I think they would say that Russell Wilson is an elite quarterback, but there's probably more maintenance than the perception of Russell Wilson would lead us to believe. I mean, otherwise, why would they be having a conversation about trading him? I mean, I'm with Ninko. There's no world that I would want to move on from Russell Wilson, yet we've been hearing these grumblings coming out of Seattle for the last couple of all seasons. There's a reason for that. Maybe Russell Wilson is wearing thin on that organization, and Pete Carroll and John Snyder are looking at it and saying, if we're going to move on from Russell Wilson at any point in the near future, this might be the offseason to do it based on what's in the draft and what's out there in the landscape of the NFL with teams that want to move off of young quarterbacks.
I agree with that. And Russell Wilson is a brilliant player. Nothing I'm about to say changes that. But the only other explanation is we have entered a very strange place in football where having a quarterback on a rookie contract is actually more valuable than having almost as valuable, if not as valuable, as having a top-line starting quarterback. Is that a ridiculous way to look at team building right now?
Not at all. It's the most valuable commodity in the NFL, having a QB on a rookie deal.
Right.
Let's keep in mind, the Seattle Seahawks won their championship when Russ was on his rookie deal. So Pete Carroll and John Snyder understand that formula. So if we're looking at this situation and we're being honest with ourselves, the Seattle Seahawks, if they're going to make that decision to move on from Russ at some point in the near future, in the next calendar year, then it feels like this would be the offseason to do it.
It's just something to think about. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been in the Super Bowl in a decade. Russell Wilson hasn't been back since he got paid. Maybe this rookie salary contract situation for the quarterback is the way a lot of teams are considering building. Then there are the Chicago Bears, and how they're considering building with quarterback remains something of a mystery. Less than a week after signing Andy Dalton, the Bears have officially named him their starter. At least their social media department has. They sent out this tweet yesterday that generated a great deal of reaction, and I will describe most of the reaction as being disgruntled. You see the tweet from the Bears there. It's just Andy Dalton with the Bears uniform superimposed on him, and they just wrote QB1. And Shefty posted it for the world to see and said it's a statement from the Bears, and I suppose it can be described as a statement from the Bears. But the question is, what exactly is that statement? And let me start with you, Desmond Howard. What do you make of that? The Bears send out a tweet that says QB1 Andy Dalton. Desmond, what?
Well, you always want to welcome your new addition to the family, and you want to make them feel special. So I think that's an attempt to make Andy Dalton feel like he's a part of the family. But, you know, you don't want to alienate any other players, especially the quarterback who you got on your roster, Trubisky. So I think that what we're going to see, Greeny, is they're going to blame this on the people who are in control of their social media. It's kind of like what we saw happen in Dallas when they released that video of the Cowboys, but Dak wasn't in the video. I believe it's always going to be put on the shoulders, on the head of the social media team that released it, who, oops, made some sort of mistake. But it's not really sending the right message to Trubisky, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Foles is still there. And, of course, Trubisky has signed in Buffalo at this point. But the one thing that we do look at when we consider the possibilities here with Dalton is that was a decision that was made above and beyond a lot of other people's better interests. What do you think of the decision in the first place?
I don't like the decision at all. Like, nothing about it. I mean, Andy Dalton is a worse quarterback than Mitch Trubisky was last year. I mean, just take a look at their QBRs. Andy Dalton, with better weapons, had a lower QBR than Mitch Trubisky. So what I can't understand is why Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace decided to move on from Trubisky in lieu of Andy Dalton, who they paid $10 million in free agency while Trubisky signed a contract with the Bills for $2.5 million. It doesn't make any sense. Keep in mind, Trubisky was the quarterback that had them in the postseason last year. I just don't see the upgrade in it. They still have the worst quarterback situation in the NFC North.
Meanwhile, there's a whole other layer to this, and Diana, this is where it gets really interesting to me, because the social media department has named Andy Dalton the starter, but has the front office given up on the pursuit of somebody else? What's the answer?
Yeah, it's certainly the trendy thing to do on social media is to do the QB one thing. And something I just found out, actually, Greeny, was sometimes the social media department doesn't always get the approval from the front office on these things. So sometimes there's miscommunications. I'm not sure who approved that. Either way, I know there are a lot of people who thought that was a joke. But obviously, this is showing that the Bears, right now, at the end of March, are invested in Andy Dalton. But when I talk to players on the Chicago Bears, they're not all buying that. They're buying into Andy Dalton. They're accepting him as their quarterback. But they believe that that door still is open. And from when I talk to sources around the league and even out in Seattle, those close to Russell Wilson, those in the Seattle building, it seems like this is something that can still happen. It is not completely shut in terms of a trade going down. And Greeny, we talk about the agent, and Dez pointed out the fact that, you know, that agent gave Schefter on the record those four teams. I was told there is no period at the end of that last team. Let's just say for this example, it's the Chicago Bears. Just because those four names were listed by the agent, that doesn't mean that's it. Those are the only four teams Russell Wilson will play for. There are other teams out there. They just aren't out there publicly just yet. So don't be surprised if it may not be the Bears involving Russell Wilson, if another team perhaps comes in late around the draft time to trade for Russell. So in terms of the Bears, yes, they still want to do something. They're going to try. But as of right now, Andy Dalton, QB1.
Realistically speaking, they will most likely, if they're going to get Russell Wilson, and Seattle's goal is to get one of the young quarterbacks in the draft, if the Bears are going to pull this thing off, they're going to have to do it with a three-way trade because they don't have anywhere near the draft capital. Teams like the Jets at number two, the Dolphins at number three, those are the places that you could be looking. So you could look at that one of two ways. You could say, do the Bears try and pull them into a three-way trade? Or you say, do those teams late in the going, as Diana is pointing out, do they wind up getting involved in the Russell Wilson conversation?
Well, I think as we move closer to the draft, your teams will start to show their hands a little bit more, but I'm with you 100%. Because the Seahawks don't have any draft capital and the Bears are in the 20s, it just makes sense to be able to pull somebody in that does have more options for Seattle in terms of addressing the quarterback position. So Sam Darnold is out there. Pete Carroll has been on the record in saying that he likes what Sam Darnold brings to the table. I don't know. Maybe there's an avenue for the Jets to get involved. But again, I don't think it's just going to be a deal just between the Bears and the Seahawks.
There's going to be a lot of things left to be figured out, and many of them will play their way out as everything does on Twitter these days. As we continue, we're just getting started. Are Aaron Rodgers and the Packers headed for a breakup after this season? And if they are, who's to blame? You're not going to want to miss the explanation. Plus, the Bucs may be the champs, but we'll tell you by 2021 might be the biggest challenge of Tom Brady's career. That's on the way. We're just getting started. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5. And on we go. The world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers finalizing a one-year, $10 million contract to bring back defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, according to Shefty, adding to the many moves that general manager Jason Light has made this offseason. With Suh coming back, 21 of the 22 players who started Super Bowl 55 will be under contract with the Bucs next year. Leonard Fournette is the only one who currently is not. 6 defending champions have returned at least 20 starters in the salary cap era. None of them, for the record, even made it back to the conference championship game. And it does bring about sort of an interesting thought here, because it's one thing to win a title. It's another thing to repeat. And there is a reason we might be able to look at this, Rob Ninkovich, as though your former teammate Tom Brady has more pressure on him now than perhaps he ever has before. Why is that?
Well, because repeating in general is really hard, and that's the reason for that, being the Patriots the last ones to do it in 03 and 04, you have to have a certain makeup and a leadership skill set, and Tom has that. He is going to have to lead this team by example this season. You have to forget about last year. Everything you did last year is over with, and you have to move on to a new season. So it almost becomes more of a challenge mentally than it is physically. Yes, it is very physically demanding to play football. We all understand that. But to get back to this point, to a championship, is so mentally challenging that you have to really have great leadership at the top. And Teddy Bruschi a couple weeks ago said it best, the head coach, it's the head coach's job to make sure everyone moves on. But I think in this particular instance, with Tom being 44 years old, having been to back-to-back Super Bowls, it is probably going to be up to him to make sure that everybody around him moves on to this 2021 season and forgets about last year.
And you were making that point, and Chris Canty, I'll come to you as well as someone who knows what it is to win a championship, that when you come back the next year, maybe there is a little bit of a tendency to rest on those laurels, to not watch the extra film, to not do the extra weightlifting, because you figure, all right, we've got this, and that's the mentality that winds up bringing some of these defending champions down.
Well, Greeny, it's hard to eat when you're full, and complacency is always a concern after you win a chip. Everybody's telling you how great you are. You spend most of the offseason celebrating. But all the while, there are 31 other teams that are getting started on next year. And those teams are putting you under a microscope. You go from being the hunter to the hunted. So human nature is one of those things that's tough to guard against when you're coming off of winning a Super Bowl. I think the biggest opponent that the Bucs are going to face in 2021 is not anybody on their schedule. It's being able to guard against complacency. Now, Tom Brady is somebody that has been able to put that chip on his shoulder throughout his career. I don't know what keeps that guy motivated after 21 seasons in the NFL, but if I were to bet on it, I would say that him being the biggest agent of change in that Bucs organization, I think he gives them a good chance to keep that from happening.
It's hard to eat when you're full. I really like
hard
that.
Hard to eat when you're full.
Expression. Desmond, let me come to you as one who was full once. You won a Super Bowl and you were the MVP of the Super Bowl. What do you think? How much of this is on Brady to make sure that that team, they're loaded, they're all coming back again to win another one. How much of it is on Brady to make sure they do it?
Yeah, well, first, Chris, I need to get your okay to borrow that, because I do like that. You can't eat when you're full. I'm going to definitely steal that. But I agree 100% that the most difficult thing to do is to repeat. Both guys know I was actually drafted by the Washington Redskins in 1992 after they won a Super Bowl. And I tell you what, Joe Gibbs, man, he burned himself out. He will always say, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, but it's even harder to repeat just because of what's expected of you. Now, I don't think they will be complacent because of that man right there, Tom Brady. He is not about complacency. He is not about contentment. He is always about winning the next championship, getting better, getting 1% better every day. So because of Tom Brady and the way he's been able to come into Tampa and change the whole culture, I think that bodes well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in trying to repeat. But there's going to be a huge bull's eye on their backs the whole season. Now, everyone's gunning for Tampa Bay this season in the way they weren't a year ago. And that's going to be the difficulty in making sure that they can stay healthy, especially down the final stretch. That's going to be the challenges for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There's so many different ways in which there becomes a lot of pressure in this situation. I agree with that. A year ago, we looked at it as though anything they do in year one is sort of playing with house money. That was COVID. They didn't have any time to practice. Now, they are a prohibitive favorite going into the season. That is a very different mentality. Meanwhile, Diana Russini, let's run the hurry up on a variety of remaining free agents who are out there. Still some moves to be made. What's the latest on Jadeveon Clowney?
Just seems like we do this every year, right, Greeny? He loves those one-year deals. Last year, he was looking for about, what, $18 million. The numbers come down quite a bit. But if you remember the last time we talked about Clowney during free agency last year over the summer, the Cleveland Browns were in on him, but he decided to go with the Tennessee Titans on a one-year deal. But what's interesting about the Browns, they were actually offering him a multi-year deal. So he visited with Cleveland yesterday. He did leave without a deal, and I really don't expect that to get done until later in the summer. It's kind of the Clowney way. How about Damien Williams, right? So he opted out last season when he was playing with the Kansas City Chiefs because of COVID-19. Also, his mother was diagnosed with cancer, so he was not out on the field. He is back in the league. now. Now, he did sign with the Chicago Bears, and it makes a lot of sense. Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator there, was also the offensive coordinator when he was in Miami, where he was drafted. So you got all those connections, so that seems like a good fit. We'll see how Damian Williams' legs are after having that years off. Melvin Ingram, one of those guys in the league, whenever you talk to coaches, they always talk about his athleticism. We know he's been with the Chargers for so many years, and he's taking meetings now. He's trying to land on a team, the Kansas City Chiefs, showing lots of interest, and the two sides met, but he did leave without a deal. There are other teams right now that are lurking and are hoping to sign him, and they believe that, yeah, he's a little older, but he's still got a lot left in him.
That's a fascinating one. That's a guy who feels like he will make a difference somewhere at a very reasonable price wherever he winds up. Diana, stay close. Meanwhile, right now, all this football, I insist we talk about golf. And I will tell you why I insist this, because did you see what happened yesterday at the Dell Match Play? That's Rory McIlroy. This is his shot on the fifth hole. And this is not exactly what he had in mind. Watch that little red line. It's rolling. It's, you know, he found the water. I will point out there is no water on the course, but there is a swimming pool in that guy's house, and that's where Rory McIlroy's shot wound up. Rory McIlroy, by the way, is a mess right now. He would lose his opening match to Ian Poulter. When you find the water and there's no water on the hole, you know you got a problem. As we continue, the U.S. men's national team opens the international window with a neutral site friendly against Jamaica. Our coverage from Austria begins today at 1 Eastern on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. Coming up, could the Eagles be going from one quarterback controversy right into another? Find out exactly what we mean coming up next. And we've got sneaky Hembo time. And this one's for you, Canty. Here we go. Who was the last wide receiver drafted inside the top three? That's the question. The answer is coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and there are a lot of really good wide receivers in the upcoming NFL draft, which brings us to this one for you, Chris Canty, from Sneaky Hembo. Who was the last wide receiver who was drafted inside the top three?
See, Hembo's really sneaky with this one because I almost got tripped up on the three. I was going to go with Larry Fitzgerald in 2004, but I was reminded that it's Calvin Johnson in 2007, assist with the guys from behind the cameras.
Well, and that is correct. Calvin Johnson in 2007 is absolutely right. He is the last wide receiver to be drafted inside the top three. Hembo, I knew it. I was waiting to see that. Hembo was going to be very upset with Brandon and company. I heard it. They did give him the answer. He would have guessed Larry Fitzgerald otherwise. Meanwhile, let's talk about those wide receivers. Desmond Howard, let's do your draft diary. We'll look at some of these guys who are going to be picked, and you tell us who they remind you of. Devontae Smith, who does he remind you of, Desmond?
Dear Draft Diary, Devontae Smith reminds me of Marvin Harrison, the great Hall of Famer, played for the Colts. You know, the first thing is because of their body types. Both guys are very slender, but they're extremely crafty. And when you watch them play, you understand that they're both route technicians and they have great hands. They're very reliable, they're accountable, and they can make the tough catches and they play bigger than they are. So I think Devontae Smith, I will go with Harrison. And for Ja'Marr Chase, how about a young man? Remember Anquan Bolden? Mm-hmm. I mean, both guys are kind of built like running backs. They're in that 6 foot, 6 foot one range, but the lower part of their bodies are really sturdy and thick, and they're very physical too. Gives them an advantage when they're going for those 50-50 balls, and they play bigger than they are. And again, very reliable receivers, great hands. And if my guy Jalen Waddle, who I absolutely love, hated to see him get hurt. He reminds me of a kid named Tavon Smith. Remember, Tavon Smith is shorter in stature too, but very crafty. Tavon Austin, and he's very crafty, dynamic in space, can make you miss in the phone booth. And we all know that Jaylen Waddle is a guy who's explosive, dynamic. He can return kicks. He can return punts. So I think Tavon Austin is the guy I think about when I look at Jaylen Waddle.
It's a great one. And, you know, Jaylen Waddle is the guy who was supposed to be the superstar receiver in Alabama this year. And then because of his injury, Devontae Smith winds up picking up so much of that slack. And so the question then becomes, if you were choosing amongst those, Desmond, if they're all on the board and you're picking one of them right now, which one translates to the pro level the best? Which one are you taking first of that three?
Oh, Greedy, man, that is such a tough question because I love all three. And, it's hard for me to go against the Slim Reaper, my man Devontae Smith, because, you know, he's a Heisman Trophy winner and he's such an exciting player. We haven't seen Ja'Marr Chase in a year, but I know he's just as exciting as Smith. But I guess I would have to go with Smith because of what we saw from him a year ago in college.
And that's also, I know it, that is the Heisman fraternity speaking. Don't kid anybody on that, Desmond. I'm calling it out right now. So let's take a look at what Mel Kiper expects the Eagles to do, okay? They are at number six, and he's got them taking Ja'Marr Chase. If they do, it'll be the second straight year, as you see there, that they take a wide receiver, Jalen Reagor, last year. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Jeremy Maclin in 2014. And so it does set up a really fascinating situation in Philadelphia. Because they signed Joe Flacco, so they've got him on their roster. And, of course, there is a feeling amongst many they want to build their offense around Jalen Hurts. But if one of the high-profile quarterbacks in this draft were to slide down there to number six, Chris Canty, would you view this, if you were running the Eagles, as though we're set at quarterback, we're done here, we're not taking one of those guys, I'm taking a weapon?
No way. No, you're not set at quarterback because you're bringing in Joe Flacco, who at this stage of his career is a backup. And then you have Jalen Hurts, who played all of four games in his rookie year, and he won one of those starts. So there's no way I could sit there and look at it if I'm Howie Roseman and say I'm in a position where I can ignore the quarterback position if one of those top flight guys falls to me at six. Now, if you don't like that guy and you have a higher grade on a position player like a Ja'Marr Chase or like a Kyle Pitts, then I can understand that. But you can't eliminate the quarterback position altogether just because of what you already have on your roster. You just can't do it.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because we all know about Chris Mortensen reporting that the owner seems to want to lean in that direction, wants them to be building around Jalen Hurts and see what they have. Diana, what is the latest out of there as far as the way the Eagles are approaching what could be a fascinating decision at number six that could influence so much of what happens in this draft?
Yeah, Greeny, I put Hembo to work this morning. Do you realize that the Philadelphia Eagles have only drafted one Pro Bowler since 2014? One, and it was Carson Wentz. We're talking 49 picks there, one of 49 guys. The Philadelphia Eagles need to attack this draft as getting the best possible player. You take a look at their roster. Most of their guys are middle to older aged at this point. They need to find some young talent that hits, which is why the pressure's on Howie Roseman. Yes, the quarterback situation isn't as clean as I'm sure that they would like it to be at this point, but they need to get better collectively. So we always talk about teams approaching this as getting the best guy. The Philadelphia Eagles need to use that formula coming up in 5 weeks.
What do you think, Ninko?
I think they got to go with Hurts. I mean, they've already had a quarterback controversy. You saw last year it started to become a circus. So you look at what he is, Hurts, as sense of 2021 quarterbacks and what he brings to the table. He is your prototype 2021 quarterback. He's mobile. He can get out of the pocket. He can hurt you with his legs. He can throw the ball down the field. So instead of drafting another young quarterback and then having two young quarterbacks on a roster that basically needs some talent. They need some younger players. They could use a first-round tackle or another first-round receiver. They should build their roster around Hurts, get another weapon offensively, build that offense up, and try to go to work with Hurts. I think that he has potential to be one of the better quarterbacks, up-and-coming young quarterback, after what we saw last year, especially against the Saints. He was going against the top defense, and he made them look silly. So I think that they should go with what they have on the roster, build their offense, and go out and get a young player.
It's a fascinating question. And Desmond, let me spin it all the way around to you, because part of it will depend upon how highly they view the quarterbacks who might be available there. So you obviously see all these guys in college as much as literally anybody does. So if you're stacking up, and who knows who might fall there, but Justin Fields, Trey Lance, potentially even Zach Wilson against Jalen Hurts, how would you see that comparison, Desmond, if it were up to you?
The only quarterback that I would get to go in there with the Eagles because I have Hurts would be Trevor Lawrence. And you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. And I think if you get Justin Fields is a similar guy. I mean, they have very similar traits. They're both dual threat quarterbacks. Obviously, Justin Fields is a little bit bigger, but you're not going to draft him if you already have Hurts on your roster. So in my opinion, Greeny, you're not going to get a quarterback at number six. I would maybe even trade down to try to get more guys to put around him. I don't know if you really need a number one with this offensive scheme they're going to bring in, but if you do, then get a wideout, because what it does, it sends a message to your quarterback and to your offense that we're trying to put as many elite pieces as we can into this puzzle to give you guys the best opportunity for success. And that's the message you want to send to your young quarterback and the offense.
They're basically assured of one of those three, a minimum of one of those three receivers we just talked about, and or the tight end Kyle Pitts being there. That is one of the real pressure points of the draft. Meanwhile, speaking of pressure, the Green Bay Packers are next up on our parade here. They have yet to restructure Aaron Rodgers' contract this offseason. Could have done it, would have freed up more than $4.5 million in salary cap space for this season. Didn't do it for one reason or another. Here was our Packers reporter Rob Domofsky with more insight yesterday here on Get Up.
We know that they are open to a restructure or a renegotiation, possibly. That was the word that a high-ranking team executive used with me yesterday. They had a chance to do something last week, and why didn't they do it? He was due a $6.8 million roster bonus on the third day of the league year. They could have turned that into a signing bonus, which would have given them salary cap relief. They didn't do it.
They didn't do it is fascinating. Again, we don't necessarily know the motives, but we don't know which side it was that decided not to do it. But we know it didn't get done. So, Diana Russini, what should we take from that?
Yeah, right now they've got about $3.8 million in cap space. And what Rob just alluded to is it could have been significantly more if there was if they restructured his contract. So where does this leave us, right? So I feel like the headlines lately and the way we've been talking about this is the Green Bay Packers aren't getting this done. They're not getting a deal done to help, you know, bolster this roster. This is a two-way street. Aaron Rodgers has to agree to restructure the contract. So I don't know whether or not Aaron is sitting there going, you know what? I don't really like what you guys did with this whole Jordan Love thing back in the draft. You guys haven't given me any weapons besides Davante Adams. So I'm not doing anything to help you guys out. I don't know that for a fact. But Aaron Rodgers would need to say he's willing to restructure his deal for this to work. So this may not be all Packers. This could be the quarterback sending a message loud and clear to Green Bay that, you know what, you're not going to push me around.
That's exactly right. And if it is, then that would easily could add up to one more season and done for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. That's where you played a lot of your career, Desmond. What do you think? What do you think of the situation with Aaron Rodgers?
Diana brings up a really good point. You can't put it all on the shoulders of the Packers, because obviously Aaron Rodgers, he has to agree to the restructuring of the contract too. But the way that they've handled the situation thus far dealing with Aaron Rodgers, and we were baffled last year during the draft and they didn't give him any more weapons so they can make a run. And Aaron is like, hey, you know what? You guys drafted a guy who's going to be my replacement. Okay, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out here and have an MVP-type season. So if this thing lingers on, Greeny, I think this may be the last season we see of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You know, he's a guy who, you know, he doesn't have a problem with beefs. You know, there are reports that his family has an issue with him. And at this point, he just keeps it moving. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is ice cold, man. So if the Packers keep playing with him like this, and if it's because of them, that the contract was not restructured. I believe that this will be his last season, and there's nothing more than he would love than to do what Tom Brady did, leave the franchise that he's been with all of his career and go somewhere else and stick it to them by winning a Super Bowl.
I hear you loud and clear, and that's sort of the way it feels to me. What's it feel like to you, Canty?
Yeah, it feels like the end is a lot closer than we all might think it would be, especially with him coming off of an MVP-type season. But when you start to think about what the Packers were trying to do with restructuring the deal, one of the things that teams try to do is restructure to get the cap number down, but they'll also give a player an extension. And the fact that that hasn't been a conversation this offseason actually makes me raise an eyebrow a little bit. It seems like the Packers want to have a year-to-year commitment, whereas Aaron Rodgers wants to be able to dictate when his time in Green Bay is going to be over with. And right now, both of those guys are in exchange in this game of chicken, and nobody's blinking.
And the most important piece of it is, and we pointed this out, it's been a decade since Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were in the Super Bowl. And right now we're looking at their primary rival in the NFC, at Tampa Bay, and they just seem to be getting further and further away into the distance. We'll see what winds up happening in the draft. But as currently constituted right now, does Green Bay look like a Super Bowl team to you?
Yeah, I think they're a contending team, but I still feel like the Buccaneers are a little bit of ahead of them, and that's because the Bucs have made a commitment to Tom Brady. They've gone all in. They've given Tom Brady everything that he wants. They've got 21 out of 22 starters returning from that Super Bowl team, whereas it seems like the Green Bay Packers are trying to be more prudent in terms of how they're managing their cap and their resources. But the one thing that I do know is Aaron Rodgers has the highest cap hit of any player in the NFL. It would seem like if the Packers are having him for a short-term proposition, you would try to put as much talent around him as you possibly can.
That's what I say as well. And what they are doing is what they tend to do, which is they are looking with one eye on the present and one eye on the future, and Tampa is doing the opposite, and we see the result. Meanwhile, let me run the floor here through some outstanding action in the women's NCAA tournament yesterday. Powered by 22 points from forward Sedona Prince, 6-seed Oregon advanced to the Sweet 16 with a 7-point win over the 3-seed Georgia. Oregon will take on number 2-seed Louisville on Sunday. Elsewhere, the 6-seed Texas swarmed UCLA in the first half, held the Bruins scoreless for over 6 minutes of the second quarter, and pulled away to win at 71-62. They advanced to the Sweet 16 for the 16th time in program history. And then in what was the game of the tournament so far, Texas A&M guard Jordan Nixon hit a game-winning shot to beat Iowa State in overtime, 84-82. The Aggies are on to the Sweet 16, and it was a beautiful moment. Nixon dedicating the win to her high school coach, Dave Edwards, who had died from COVID-19 1 year ago. As we continue, is Russell Wilson in the middle of damage control? Have the Seahawks done enough to fix the problems? We've got answers to all those questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up, and we're going to call this sneaky big news. Underline the big. Veteran running back James White agreeing to a one-year deal to remain with the Patriots, a three-time Super Bowl champ. He is an outstanding pass-receiving back. Just how good? Glad you asked. No running back has been more productive as a receiver than White since his rookie year in 2014, leading all running backs in catches, yards, and touchdowns over that span. So another weapon to go along with many others they've brought in, including the newly acquired receiver Nelson Agholor, who is real excited about his new quarterback.
Cam Newton is a great quarterback. I think he's a Super Bowl MVP, league MVP for a reason. And I know he can do whatever needs to be done. And for me, it's just about getting out there and practicing with him. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to work with him. I'm excited to grow. I know he's going to push me.
So we talk about teams that are putting all their eggs into the basket of a season. The Patriots certainly pushing their chips to the middle of the table. And the question about Cam Newton is, Diana, do we believe it is a foregone conclusion that he is their starting quarterback week one?
No, that is not the sense I'm getting around league circles that Cam Newton is the guy that the New England Patriots are building this offense around. They spent $100 million-plus signing all these free agents for a quarterback that is making about $5 million. His contract tells you how they feel about him. They don't think he's the future of the New England Patriots. Does the relationship work? Yes. Cam Newton's become a different person since he's become in New England. He's always competitive. He always works hard. We know this about him. It's what makes him fantastic and makes him a great player. But his personality has really changed since he's been in New England. This is a guy who was an elite quarterback and is no longer elite. And I think he's done a really good job of playing the game with Bill Belichick. We hear nothing but great compliments, and it seems like it just works. But in terms of playing, because that's what this is going to come down to at the end of the day. Everyone can like each other and get along and kumbaya, but he's got to go out there and perform. And just recently, I was talking to somebody in the league who I really trust, who's got good information. He said, do not take the Jimmy Garoppolo trade off the table. Mm. That is something New England is still sniffing out. Bill doesn't like to put his cards out on the table, so most think, oh, well, if we all know about that, that probably won't happen. But there is definitely a tone in the league that it could still go down.
Nico, he's your former coach, and that's your former teammate in Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know that you have said that as well. What is your sense, with all these pieces they put in place there, of what Bill's plan is at quarterback?
Look, I'm not a mathematician, but I did go to Purdue University, and you could take a bar graph, a histogram, a plot chart, whatever you want to do, and when you look at Cam Newton last year, he started out at a certain point, and he didn't continue to go up. He started to kind of waver and then went down at the end of the season. So what does a quarterback position have to do? You have to throw the ball accurately. That's your number one job. Take care of the football and throw the ball accurately down the field. And I think that when we watched Cam's progression last year, granted he didn't have an offseason, OTAs, whatever. When you're out there on the football field as a quarterback, your job is to throw the football with accuracy. And I think that when you look at Cam, his struggles are throwing the football. So if you're the Patriots and you're going into the season loaded up at the you get all these tight ends and the receivers and you bring back James White, you need a quarterback that you feel confident in his accuracy. So I think that they'll probably get a young quarterback, somebody that that can throw the ball down the field with consistency and have Cam Newton on the roster with that team-friendly deal. He's making less than a lot of the backups in the league. So
yeah.
I think that Cam's going to be there as a good piece, change-up piece, but they're going to go get a quarterback.
Nico, what's a young quarterback mean to you? Because Diana brought up Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's the name we hear all the time. Are you talking about drafting somebody at 15? Mel projects them to take Mac Jones at 15 in the draft. Is that what you're thinking?
I think, yes, in the draft, because I said earlier before free agency that they're going to load up with all the money that they have, all that equity that they put into their free agents right now. They're going to go get a young quarterback, and we all said it. We said it earlier in this program that – having a young quarterback under his rookie deal sets you up to win, just like Seattle did, right? So for me, I think that the Patriots are going to go back to the old blueprint of 2001 with a young quarterback, with a great defense, a lot of great pieces on that team, because they have improved dramatically with the pieces that they brought in free agency.
What do you think, Canty? Give me the crystal ball, mm-hmm. because they've done everything but address the quarterback in a splash kind of way. I don't know that Cam Newton at one point certainly qualified as a splash. Right now, it doesn't feel that way. Yeah. So what is the move they make?
Well, I think they're going to be looking to upgrade the quarterback position, but if they're not able to find what they're looking for out there, whether it's the draft or whether it's via trade, Cam Newton is a pretty good fallback option. I mean, if you look at the pieces that they're putting in place, it feels like the 2021 New England Patriots skill positions look a lot like the 2015 Carolina Panthers skill positions, a tight end and running back oriented passing game, and then the receivers being of the catch and run variety rather than vertical threat guys. So I just feel like with what they've already got in place, Cam Newton can put this team in a situation where they can compete for a playoff
spot. Okay, so just to be clear, 2015 is a year in which Cam Newton's Carolina Panthers went 15-1, went to the Super Bowl, and he was the league MVP. You're saying the pieces around him look like that, but does he? Does Cam Newton to you look like he can recapture a significant percentage of what that was in order to lead this team where it looks like they plan to go?
Well, the first three games of last season before he got COVID, it looked a lot like he was capable of doing that. I mean, that could have been a team that went 3-0 had it not been for that failed goal line opportunity in the end of that Seattle game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you look at Cam Newton, I think there was a lot to like initially, but then after COVID, there was a tail off in his production. I don't think we can undersell how impactful him dealing with that in the middle of the season was, along with not being able to have a full offseason, no OTAs, modified training camp, et cetera. So I just think there's more to like when it comes to this Cam Newton situation with the New England Patriots. I don't think Cam is as bad as what we saw in the second half of last year.
If you want to give reasons, not excuses, but reasons why it did not go well for him last year, there are, you just named several of them, no offseason, no preseason, COVID while the season was going on. You could make all of those reasons and they would all be valid. We'll take a quick break. We have a huge hour coming your way. You will find out how a late night tweet from the Bears has one of our crew saying it's time to blow it all up in Chicago. Don't miss it. It's on the way. Get up on ESPN.